Father, we love you. We thank you for your ever faithful love that you have brought your son to this planet, and he showed us your love in action. And then, Father, he died for us, and he's raised again, and he's seated in the heavenlies. And then you gave us the word to continue to show us who you are, the great plans and the great love for you, you have for us. So we thank you today for the word of God that directs us, corrects us, leads us, encourages us, and puts us in a good place in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Okay, what's the title of the message? Oh, you guys are on the page. I love it. Okay, now, we're going to be really talking about relationships for the entire month. Today, that's where we're going to go, but we're going to talk about relationships. How many of you know that relationships can be one of the greatest joys in your life? Amen. Especially you grandbaby people. You know, you got your grandbabies, you know, okay. They're fun. But how many of you also know that sometimes relationships can cause the deepest wounds in our life? Don't point at anybody, okay? Now, at YCF, we believe relationships are very important. And the last several years, we are doing a lot to give opportunity to develop relationships. Andy Stanley said this. I stole it. I love it. Church is not rows, 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 rows. Church is about circles. Church is not about, and please do, come and sit and receive and leave. That's not all church is. Church is about people developing genuine relationships. Because otherwise, if you don't, 2 o'clock in the morning, you call me all the time, Pastor D, that's happened in my life, pray for me. But if you're in a circle, you call everybody in your circle. Okay? Last week, I came upstairs to the service, and sitting on the back row was Pam, Pat, Joyce, Anita. Okay, I think, you weren't there. Okay, those are my ladies there. And they are sitting in this is before church. Now, technically what was happening is they were sitting in a circle. I loved watching them. They are just talking and laughing, and I kind of jumped in on the conversation. I won't tell you what we were talking about. But I thought, wow, these ladies don't just sit in a row. They actually have become a circle. And then I was like, duh, you know why? They have been a part of a grow group for more years than we want to tell you. We were really talking about how I won't do that one. Okay. So church is important, and it's important because you need to build relationships. You need to be building relationships. And we are doing everything that we can concoct, such as ice skating. Now, I tell you what, when I came up with this idea with Amber, it was probably before the holidays. And I thought, oh, dear Jesus, you better get in faith, woman. I'm going ice skating on Wednesday. It has been almost 2 decades since I've been on a pair of ice skates. I've been praying and confessing, and I'm going to go, okay? But you know what I'm also going? I need fellowship in my life. I need to just hang out and connect. I might just make once around and hold onto the wall or one of those cones, but it is an opportunity to develop relationships. So we're doing a skate night, not because you want to take a picture of me ice skating. I'm going to come with a little tutu on so you can think I'm one of these things. If you don't come, you won't see. All right. This Saturday was men's prayer. You know, yes, it is amazing and awesome that we come together when prayer. But you know the other reason why we do that? So that you'll connect and you'll have fellowship and you'll start building friendships. All right. Grow groups is all about, yes, we're going to study the word. But the big thing is also connecting and having relationships. So we are on it. We are on it. Now, getting back. So today we're going to talk about relationships, more specifically dealing with difficult people. All right. Yay. How many of you have had a difficult person in your life? Don't point, just raise. Okay. Now, usually it starts, you meet this person and you go, oh, wow, they're great. This is going to be wonderful. And then after time goes by, you go, man, this relationship is just not so hot, all right? But listen, relationships are not supposed to be a struggle, and I call them walking on eggshells, you know, because you never know if they're going to blow up, throw up, or whatever, okay? So in our new series for the month, we're going to talk about relationships. So, duh, we're also going to talk about marriages, because that is a big relationship thing going on, right? So if you're struggling with this in your marriage, hey, come. Hopefully I will. Matter of fact, I definitely will give you some materials, some scriptures, some stories, some encouragement, some concepts to help you get through. Okay? Now, I can tell you, the first couple years Jack and I were married, I told you about how I wanted to jump out of the car on the expressway. Because there was not so good relationships going on right there. I could not figure out why he did some of the things he did. And he could not figure out why I was acting like I did. Okay? You know what? And then somebody gave us the book, Gary Smalley. If He Only Knew, and the other one's If She Only Knew. So I read the If She Only Knew. And then I threw it at him and I said, you need to read this. And I love the guys that say, I don't read. I was like, you want to live? You're going to read. Okay? You're going to live. Okay. And then he says, well, I'll read if you read. So I read If He Only Knew and If She Only Knew. They're still out there. I checked our bookstore. We don't have them, but you can go to the other bookstore at the other end of town. They're amazing. They're amazing. Also, Marriage on the Rock. Great one. Okay. Now, by the way, just a little golden nugget. When your wife says, you don't need to buy me anything for Christmas, you better go shopping, buddy. If you haven't gotten that relationship, and do not buy her a vacuum cleaner. That does not count under the Christmas tree. Okay? You better get her a vacuum cleaner, but that's not under the Christmas tree. All right, that's my golden nuggets on marriages, okay? Okay, so we're going to have a lot of fun in the series, but at the same time, I promise you, I'm going to give you the Word of God about relationships. I'm going to give you concepts through the Word of God that will help better your life, because God wants us better. Everybody say better, 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 better. So we're going to talk about marriages the next couple weeks, one of those, and we're going to talk about children. Now, if you have young children, raise your hand. You are in a critical part of your life. I couldn't believe we started this church. Sherry was like 2 3/4. Jesse was a couple months old. And then pop, we had 4 kids later on, and life went by fast. Life goes by fast when you've got kids. And then one day you wake up and you go, man, I wish I would have poured more into them. I wish I would have done. So we're going to talk about a little bit about raising kids. If you're a grandparent, that's still a good one for you. So we're going to talk about that. Now, today, dealing with difficult people. Everybody keep your eyes in front. Do not look at the person next to you, okay? Dealing with difficult people. Okay? I actually found a scripture that talks about difficult people. All right, you can, I'll tell you in a moment, but dealing with difficult people, there was a time in my life I thought every difficult person was living in my backyard. I'd meet somebody, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're a difficult person. Oh my gosh, you are too. Oh my gosh, you are too. Oh my God, I just felt like difficult people just camped out at my house, my yard, all right? Anybody else ever felt like that? Yeah, no, a bunch of liars, here we go. So the other day I was, last week when I started preparing this, I got an email, and they're not just in my backyard. This one says, dealing with difficult people, strategies and tips and techniques fighting frustration in the workplace. So anybody have any of those difficult people at your workplace? So this was a seminar I had to pay $200 to go to, and it says, on this day of intensive training, you will learn how to not take the offense against the know-it-alls, the dictators, the snipers, the gripers, the yes people, the no people, and all the other contrary characters that you confront in your job. So difficult people are there. They're there in all sorts of places, aren't they? All right. So let's talk about difficult people that are in our lives. Turn over to 2 Timothy 2, please. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. I'm going to start in verse 23. Say amen when you find 2 Timothy 2. Amen. 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 23. Again, I say, don't get involved with foolish. Okay, sorry. I'll get serious again. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. Now, that would just being there, just blah, just following that direction will get you out of a lot of trouble. Don't you agree? All right. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish and ignorant arguments, all right, that only start fights. So everybody, your year of great is you're not going to get into foolish, ignorant arguments because they start fights. All right. Okay, moving right along here. The Lord's servants, raise your hand if you're the Lord's servants, must not quarrel, but must be kind. Everybody say kind. To everyone, they must be able to teach effectively and be patient with difficult people. God knew that you were going to encounter difficult people. So he says, you need to be patient. Okay, patient. That word in that instance, where it's in 2 Timothy 2, the word patient means to endure. How many of you are enduring some difficult people? Don't point. Just look straight ahead. Okay? So, let's finish reading. Be patient with difficult people. They should gently teach those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts. Dear God, please. And they will believe the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's traps. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Everybody say difficult people. Most likely everybody here has probably one difficult person in their life. Say amen. All right. But how many, I mean, I guarantee you probably never thought that you might be a difficult person. Wah! Are you kidding me? No, no, no. You probably have never thought that you could possibly be a difficult person. Everybody love your pastor. Pastor D, I love you. Just really love you. Okay. Because this is what I found out. Most people don't know they're a difficult person. They're not walking around with a big sign on their head. I'm a difficult person. I'm a difficult person, right? Most people don't know that they're a difficult person to be with, right? Okay, so difficult people. All righty. So before we start this teaching, look to the person next to you and say, you really need to hear this. Okay. And then look to the person next to you and say, this message is for you. Okay. All right. All righty. I'm going to read you, just to make you laugh just a few more seconds more. Let me read you an old Irish rhyme. To live above the saints, those are the people that went to heaven. To live above the saints, oh, wouldn't that be great? But to live below with the saints, I know that's another story. You didn't get it. All right. All right. Okay, let me give you Max Lucado's quote here. I love this one. Max Lucado, everybody know who he is? Okay. All right. He said, some people have been called into our lives as missionaries of misery. Whoosh. Sent into our lives to wreak havoc. Let me read that one more again. Some people have been called into our lives as missionaries of misery. Misery sent into our lives to wreak havoc. Now, for me personally, if you have been sent into my life to wreak havoc, I am smarter than a fifth grader. I'm probably not going to spend a whole lot of time with you. Right? Okay. But for some of you, you don't have a choice for the person's missionary is misery and wreak havoc. You know why? Some of you don't have a choice because maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's your brother. Maybe it's your sister. Maybe it's your wife. I'm not looking at anybody. Maybe it's your husband, okay? Maybe it's your boss. You don't have a choice, right? But listen, if you're in the world, you know what usually happens? They like to just chuck you out, all right? They're like, okay, done. I'm going to dispose of you. Or if you're the difficult person in my life, I'm moving. Better yet, I'm moving 5 states away because I am done with you. So in the world, that's usually their mindset. That's their way that they deal with difficult situations and people, all right? But listen, I believe God has something for us to do when we encounter difficult people, all right? Some God things that will make it better, all right? So on your piece of paper, it says, types of people we deal with. Types of people we deal with, all right? Now, I'm going to try to make it a little humorous, you know. What's Mary Poppins? A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. So I'm going to put a little humor in there. But I was just trying to, just randomly making a list of difficult people that you might encounter. Okay, but while you're reading this list, please also put the mirror in front of you. And if one of those goes, oh my gosh, I think they just described me, then you can ask God to help me not be like that. So one, we're going to read the list. No pointing at your neighbors, but, you know, just take it in, all right? Okay, number one, okay, the hammer. This person comes up to you all the time, and they are just aggressive with their words. They're just pounding you all the time. Everything they say is right, and everything you say is always wrong. Anybody know a hammer person? Don't point. Okay, now. The interesting thing about the hammer person that's so aggressive and just pounding on you all the time and everything that they say is there are people like that. There are people like that. But on the other hand, there are people who think, okay, Frank's my boss, and he comes to me on Monday and goes, hey, D, I need you to do some things here because you weren't doing them right. And some people go, oh, he's the hammer. I can't believe he talked to me like that. He was so nice. Okay, the person who's got the problem is me, not Frank, the boss, okay? So the hammer. All right. Number two, megaphone. Where's my megaphone? Okay. These people, they just talk. And I didn't put the battery in because this thing blasts. You get around them and they talk. And actually, 2 weeks ago, when Sherry and I were at a minister's conference, I ran into this person that we know. And I thought, I felt like I was in a wrestle hold. And they're just talk. I couldn't get away. They had me almost like pinned. Now, the megaphone people, you know what I noticed? Actually, I've known about this person for a long time. All they do is talk about themselves. All right. And after a while, you're like, you're just squirming to get away. I was like, call me over. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I got to leave. Okay. Megaphone. All right. Megaphone people. Next, number three, the bubble buster. Okay. All righty. I figured if Sherry can do some props, I can do some props too. All righty. Everybody know Debbie Downer? You come up and you say, oh, I got a raise. And they go, I heard the company's going out of business tomorrow. I was like, what? All right. Or you come up and okay, I gotta do one more because this is so much fun. Who doesn't like balloons? I'll go next to you and do it here. Or you say, hey, my kid's soccer team, they're doing amazing. They're going in the playoffs. And they go, oh, well, I read on the internet that, you know, soccer's really bad because you can have knee injuries at age 4. It's like, they're always, you can come in so joyful, positive, and they're just the negative Debbie Downers. Anybody know any of them? Don't raise your point to them. Okay. All right. Number four, what's it say? Volcano. Oh, Lord. Volcano people love to erupt on top of you. Okay. And they're very negative. They usually, when they erupt, they're very harsh, say things they ought not to. And I remember this one so vividly. It's a couple years ago. It's this lady who doesn't come to church here anymore. I don't know if she goes to church anywhere anymore. But I was up here on White Street inside the post office. We used to have a mailbox. So I'd go in there and she pulls up, and it's summertime. So people are coming in and out, and she pulls up her car right at the front door, and her teenager's getting out, and she just spews and erupts all over her teenager. And the door would open and close, and you'd hear, rah, 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 rah. And my heart was really feeling it for this kid. But I was like, woman, you have erupted and said just horrible things to your kid who's going to the post office for you because you're too lazy to get your butt out of the car. Like, be nice. Okay, being in the path of the volcano is not nice, right? Okay, that wasn't funny. Space cadet, next one. Space cadet. They live in another planet. I don't know what planet they live in. I'm not sure they know what they live in. And you know that, and I thought, you know, when I was thinking about it, they are actually difficult to people to live with because they're just out there. And you're like, Earth to orbit, come on here. And like I used to do with my little kids, I'd grab them by the chin and I'd go, stay focused, stay with me. Okay, so they're actually a difficult person to communicate with, have a relationship with. All right. Okay, what's the next one? Number six, the clam. They give you the silent treatment so they can manipulate you. They give you the silent treatment so they can manipulate you. All right? Not too nice. All right. Number seven, the nitpicker. The nitpicker. Okay, well, how do I say this? They usually, the nitpicker, okay, picture, I actually have this navy sweater. I love it. But I've worn it so many times, it's got little fuzz balls all over it. The whole thing is covered. It's some cheap, probably, fabric. Okay, the nitpicker comes up and just starts picking everything off of you. And they're critical. Okay? Now, the nitpicker, if I were to put them on your team, you wouldn't like it. It never turns out really well. Because you know what that nitpicker does? Oh, you ought to do this. Oh, Pastor Jack used to do this. Boy, I'd love that one. Okay? And how come you're doing this? And you should do this. And you should do that. You should do it. Nitpickers, they're not good team people. You just want to shoot them after a while. Okay? Don't point at anybody. Number eight, crybaby. They whine and pout about everything. Nothing is ever right. And actually, they're pouting so they can get their own way. Yep. Number nine, the user. The users love to use guilt trips on you. All right? They take advantage of you by a guilt trip. And they are really not nice. They're not one of my favorites. Okay, last one. The garbage collectors. Okay. Now, let me tell you about the garbage collectors. Okay? Through life, they have collected everything that's gone wrong in their life, and they have it. They have a pile full of it. And then they come up to you. So Cindy and I are friends. And you start having a conversation with me, and I'm a garbage collector, and I start just unloading all of my trash, okay, such as you'll say, you know, Pastor D, 20 years ago in this chair, you said this to me. Oh, well, I'm really, really sorry. That's okay. There's more. Just stick for it, okay? All right. We'll clean that up later. All right. Okay. Garbage collectors. All right. Now. Garbage collectors. All right. So I was going to give you a bunch more, but we'll just stop. All right. Here. Okay. Now, here's the thing about all these types of people. And actually, if you saw yourself in one of those, good. You get to work on it. It's no biggie. All right. I saw myself in a couple of those long time ago. Yeah. Okay. Now, here's the bad thing. If you think, well, you know, Pastor D, that's just who I am. I've been like that for a long time, and I just can't help it. That's just the way I am. I used to say that about a person. And then the Lord reminded me of Romans 12, 1 and 2. Flip over. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12. Verse 2. We'll jump over there. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to the pattern of the world. Do not be squeezed into that kind of mind, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. How many have heard that scripture before? Every sermon I hear about that just tickles my toes. It's great. But listen, a better way of looking at that word transform. So you need to be transformed. Transforms you. The word of God will transform you. The word of God will transform you. The word of God actually will transform your personality. Oh, I don't believe in that personality thing. Good. I'm glad I'm not married to you. You just told me you got a personality that's, you know, difficult. The word of God will transform your personality. So if you're read those 10 things and you're like, well, Pastor D, that's just the way I am. I can't change. No, no, no. The word of God will transform your personality and get you from being a difficult person to being a nice person, to be a God person, to be a good person. All right. So the word of God will transform you. So I love when people say, oh, they're just set in their ways. No, you don't have to be set in your ways, all right? You don't have to say, well, I've always been like that. No, you don't have to. You can choose to be transformed. If you would have met me 30, 40 years ago, I was an insecure mess / clam. Go read your list over here, the clam, all right? All right, but I have been applying the word of God to my life, and thank you for several people that have helped kick my butt and grab me and say, you better knock it off, woman. Okay, but I've been applying it, and I'm a different person so much that probably it was a year ago, I was at a small ministers group, and I've known this bunch, especially this one guy who came up to me, Pastor Doug, and he says, man, Pastor D, I can finally see where you're comfortable in your skin. It's like, what? And then I got it. I have been transformed. And you ought to be looking, smelling nicer than you were 30 years ago if you've been a believer that long, all right? So the word of God will transform you, okay? Listen, the word of God will transform your personality and make you a better person, nicer, if you apply it. Got to apply it. Some people read it, but they ain't applying it. Big difference. Okay, so the word of God will make you better. Now, there's some things you can do to become better. There's some things you can do to become better, and it starts with a choice. Everybody has a choice every single day. In your home, you have a choice. In your workplace, you have a choice. You have a choice. I have a choice. I have a choice every single day on what to do with those people that are difficult or myself. All right? You have a choice on what you're going to do. Number one, it's on your piece of paper. You can choose to curse it. All right? So what's that mean? You can choose to live angry, and then everybody that does something to you, you just go back on top of them and you can actually curse the situation. I don't mean the F this and that. I mean just how you act in life. You can choose to do that and be the curse. Act like the curse and just be nasty. Okay, number two, you can choose to nurse it. What's that mean? Okay, every relationship you've had that's not been so nice, you just carry it around and you just, oh, poor me, you know, it's just the way I am because look what they did to me. You can nurse it. You can choose to nurse it. You can choose to nurse it. You can choose, okay? Oh, Pastor D, that you don't know how I was treated like as a child. I get it. Things happen, okay? But sooner or later, you got to turn the corner. Sooner or later, you know, put on your big girl panties and let's make some changes. All right? And then that's when you say, I'm going to turn the corner and say, that was my past. That is not the future God's mapped out for me. And from this day forward, my past is not going to hold me. I'm not going to let it hold me. I have a bright future. I choose to go that way. All right? Number three, you can choose to rehearse it. Oh, man. Have you ever bumped into this person and every time they walk in the room, they tell you everything that happened to their life, why they're like that every time. And then you see them next month and Michelle's going to tell me, well, you know, this happened to me and this happened to me and this happened to me and this happened to me. And then I'll see you a day later and your opening statement is, you know, I'm like this because my father did this, my mother did this. They just keep rehearsing it and rehearsing it to the point I got the script written. I can just say I'll read it myself. All right? You know, and we laugh about that, but you can choose not to rehearse it. Matter of fact, you know, I have a story to tell. It's my testimony. And at the beginning of that, I will tell you what I have been like, but the best part is I'm going to tell you the end of the story and tell you what Jesus Christ has done in my life. That's the only time you get to rehearse it once. And then, so, because you know what you're doing? Every time you do that, you are encouraging. This is what I came out of, and this is what Jesus did for my life, and this is why I'm over here. So then it's okay to rehearse. But if every time you walk in the door and you give me this whole sheet, gee whiz, knock it off. All right. Okay, number four, you can choose to reverse it. All righty. I'm really not a numbers person. Like, once you get to number 11, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10. Then this is 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I just count on knuckles. I'm really not a numbers person. But I inherited some things at YCF, and I got stuck on the desk where we did accounting. Oh, dear Jesus. But you know what I found out? We have this program. You can reverse anything. Like if you did the debit, it should have been the credit. There's this little button down at the bottom that says reverse, and it just swaps it around. I love that. So if we make a boo-boo, just tell us. We know how to fix it. Press the button. It reverses it. It's great. You're all looking at me like, oh, God, I'm glad she doesn't do sitting there. I don't do it anymore. I have people that take care of it. But it was fascinating. Reverse it. Reverse it. Reverse it. So what does that mean to me? If I've had this stuff happen in my life, you choose to press the button. You decide I'm not going to be like that anymore. Listen, my testimony is I grew up one of six kids. All but one have died because of addictions. And the last one, besides myself, the other last one standing, I found out she's an alcoholic. But what happened is early when I met the Lord Jesus, I decided I was going to reverse that. I hit the button. And really, if I'd stayed in New Jersey, I'd be one of those too. But I came out of New Jersey. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You can choose. If your family's always in this way and this way and this way, and they all get... go to jail and they all are in drugs and they all do this and they all do that, you can press the button and choose to reverse it, right? You don't have to be like that. You get to choose, okay? And the reason why we choose, if you're a believer, you can press the button. If you're a believer, you get to press the button and then start declaring, find out what God says you are and start making the changes, all right? So nobody, you know, if someone says, well, that's just the way I've always been, I'm like, oh, cut me a break. Get over it. All right. So we need to decide to reverse it. All righty. Now, how do you do that? Well, this is how we do it. There's a Bible way to do that. Okay. Now, we run into difficult people, right? But you need to learn how to deal with them. We run into difficult people. You might live with difficult people. They may be your family. They might be your boss. But how do I do that? Alrighty. Now, I've lost my page. I don't know where I am. I think I went too far. Oh, okay. There's a Bible way to do it. There's a Bible way. God actually has ways in his Bible that will help you reverse it, not be cursing it, not to rehearse it. There's a Bible way to do it. But the interesting thing about the Bible way, sometimes it's not the easy way. The Bible response to these people in your life, most of the time, it's going to be the harder way of doing it. But I'm just a glutton for punishment, so I'm going to do it the Bible way. Anybody else? All right. Okay. So now let me, so you have this situation happen to you with somebody just being the clam, the hammer, the whatever, and there's a Bible way to respond to them. You have to choose how to do it. The problem is sometimes I really just don't feel like doing it. So let me tell you a story. This is my pastor friend, Mike, told me this story. I'm thinking, I can't, his story is better than mine. So he was on his way to church service. It's a midweek service. They were doing a camp meeting. That meant they had a whole bunch of meetings scheduled. And he got off the main highway, and it's four, two going this way, two going this way. So he got off the ramp onto the main highway. And if you're slower, what lane are you supposed to move to? I thought you moved to the left. Right. Okay. You moved to the right. And he said, Dee, I was just having a great time. I was just singing to the Lord because I'm going to this meeting. And he didn't do that. Next thing he knows, someone's beeping the horn at him. And he's like, pulls him out of just this holy land as he's driving. And he's the guy that drive by is giving him all sorts of hand motions. And my friend Pastor Mike's going, I don't know what the problem is. So then just shortly down the road was the exit that Pastor Mike was going to get off to get to the church. So he puts his turn signal on, he gets off the exit. Next thing he knows, that car that gave him the pulls in behind him and then passes him and then stops in the middle of the road. Gets out of his car with a bat. And Pastor Mike obviously is going to slow down because he might hit the car. And he slows down. He's like, what is this? What's the matter with this crazy guy? And the guy takes the bat and whacks his side mirror off. Now, my friend Pastor Mike may be short in stature, but he's full-blooded Italian. You know. Okay? And he said, I'm in the car, and it is everything into me. He's going, dear Jesus, help me not get out and just beat the snot out of that guy. Dear Jesus, I thank you. The love of God is in my heart, shed abroad. Thank you, dear Jesus. Jesus! And then he just kept driving, and he was going to the camp meeting, and he said, I was actually shaking because so just wanted to do, you know what? And he says, but I had to go to this meeting and open in prayer. Okay? And I'm thinking, okay, he chose to make a Bible response. Okay? Was that the hard thing to do? Besides making a good story. All right, he did. Okay, now, so what do you do when you meet difficult people? How are you going to respond to them? All right, what's the Bible way? Okay, now, number one, in closing, here we go, down at the bottom. You cannot please everyone. Okay, you need to realize you're going to have difficult people in your life, and you just can't make them happy. You're like, thank you, Lord. But I'm going to give you the kicker at the end. So right now you can go get happy. Okay. Scripture for that. Well, let me tell you this. Sherry and I were over at Ollie's the other day, and we were buying some decorations for the windows for Easter here. We got a really good deal, $3.99. I was like, great. So we loaded up our cart, and there was somebody in the checkout before us, and the cashier was this middle-aged lady. And I would not say that she was overly joyful. But she was hanging in there. It was about 6 o'clock or something like that. So I thought she was doing pretty good. But the guy that she was checking out, she said, excuse me, sir, do you have an Ollie's card? He goes, oh my gosh, he flips out his wallet. She says, that's all right. Just give me your email address and I'll type it in and we'll pull it up so you can get the 15% discount. She says, okay, well, just give me your phone number. This guy was the eruptor. All right. And this lady just said, was so kind, so kind. And I was like, just let me at him. Like, how dare you be snotty to her? She was just really nice. It didn't matter what she did. You can't please everybody. And you're like, okay, done. No, don't do that. Okay, don't do that. All right, turn over to John. Let's give you a Bible scripture. So, you know, here. John chapter 5, verse 30. John 5:30. Good scripture for this. You can't please them. You can't please everybody. You try. You are supposed to try. John 5:30. I'm trying to find it on my page. Here we go. Here we go. Nope. Oh, that's why it's 6. Okay, here we go. Oh, I'm in Ephesians 5. That's not it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I put these little stickers in here so I can do it fast. Sometimes I forget to put the sticker in there. Here we go. All righty. Where am I? Nope, wrong page. Amen, I finally made it. Okay, here we go. Praise. Oh, yeah. This is why I picked this. I'm not going to start the first part, but the second part it says, I'm still on the wrong page. Yeah. All right. Is it 5:30? John? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 5, verse 30. Okay, well, I'm going to give you the scripture I wrote down. We'll find it later. Jesus is talking to... I know. Jesus is talking to this whole crowd that has followed him. And they want him to do miracles again. I would too. I'm not dumb. Jesus, do a miracle, you know? And he goes and he tells them, he says, listen, I am not here to do everything you want me to do. All right? I am not here to jump your hoops. I am not here to make your life just the way you want it. I am here to do what my Father told me to do. I am here to please only him. Because Jesus knew he couldn't please men, especially those Pharisees and Sadducees. All right? They were wanting him always to do this, do that. Why did you do this? And he just finally said, listen, I am here to please God. And what's that mean to me? There are people you are trying and trying just to just make them happy. And some days you start beating up yourself. That's okay. You just need to please God. So you know what the Lord's, I remember this, did I give him the word? Yes, Lord. But God, they went, rah, 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 rah. Did you give him the word? Yes, Lord, I did. Then you have pleased me. Did you walk in love? Yeah, Lord, but look at them. They're still, rah, 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 rah. Did you walk in love? Yes, Lord. Then you have pleased me. So all you have to do when you go to bed at night is, you know, Lord, I am going to please you. And now this is really hard if you're a people-pleasing person. And I'm pretty sure every pastor is like this. But I want everybody to like me. I want everybody to be happy with me. I do. I really do. But, you know, what I found out, I'll go crazy if I think that's going to happen, number one. And number two, every one of you comes into this building, you have an opinion. You all have your own opinion. Some of you think it's too loud. Some of you think it's too soft. Some of you think we shouldn't have coffee in here. This is holy ground. Some of you think we should sing old songs, new songs, okay? Y'all have an opinion. And I'm not saying those are wrong opinions, but I finally had to get to the place in my life. I said, Lord, I only want to please you. And in the process of only pleasing you, I might displease you. But when I go to bed at night, I'm going, God, I did what you said. My goal is to please you. So I sleep really good. Now, people pleasers, they don't sleep really good. They go to bed at night and they're just, oh my gosh, I can't believe, what am I going to do? How am I going to change that? All right? Okay, number two on there, refuse to play the game. What am I talking about that? There are people in your life that are playing games in the relationship, and they do that just to drive you crazy. They are doing that just to manipulate you. They're doing that just to be big old stinkers. And you don't have to play the game. You walk in love. You hear from God. That's all you have to do, okay? Now, if you're here and you're one of those stinkers, you need to stop it. Relationships should be a joyful thing. Relationships should not be abused. They're actually precious. relationships, our husband and wife, brothers and sisters, you know, co-workers, whatever, friends, BFFs, they're precious. So you need to just stop that, all right? Just be nice. I think I have a scripture down there. What is it, John 2, 23, 24? Thank you. 2, 24. Let's see if I can find it this time here. Oh, yeah. But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew what the people were really like. He knew they were a bunch of stinkers. And he was still going to walk and fulfill what God called him to do. All right? So you're going to encounter some really difficult people. All right? You probably even have them already in your life. That's okay. Just walk in love and do what the Lord says. Okay, number four, don't retaliate. That's really what I should have told Pastor Mike's story. Don't retaliate, okay? Let's have a bat fight. Okay, that's retaliating. People who like to get the last word in, that's retaliating. You said this, so I'm going to say that. You said this, so I'm going to say that. That's a form of retaliating. All right, that's not a God thing. Don't retaliate. Don't retaliate. 1 Peter 1:3-9. I'm going to let them do it. 1 Peter 3:9. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will bless you. So what's that mean? People are just not being nice. I am not going to retaliate. I'm going to bless them. Now, sometimes I don't feel like blessing them. They have been snots. Okay? They have insulted me, talked bad about me, and don't talk about my babies behind my back. That's really fighting. Okay? But you know the what? The first thing that I learned to bless them that I can all do, I start praying for them. I will start praying for them. And then it kind of works in me. Okay? Father God, I forgive them. Father God, bless them. They must have had some dilly of a day. I bless them. Father, you just cause peace in their life, all right? So that's what I do. And God said, if you do that, he'll bless you. I mean, I like being blessed by the Lord. Oh my gosh, bless me, bless me, bless me. I love it. I'm a glutton for God's blessings. But I have a part to play in it, all right? So what number are we on? Number what? Thank you. Release them. Okay, Matthew 5:44, release them. Release them. But I say, love your enemies. Oh, yeah, I got ahead of it. Pray for those who persecute. Release them. Praying is really a great way of releasing them. But you know what I found out when I would not release people? You were just driving me crazy. Okay, I'm going to tell a guy story, girl story. Here we go. It's time to get ready for church. And you're the guy, and it only takes you 15 minutes to look like you do. I was like, wow, that's amazing. But do you know how long it takes me to look like I do? An hour. Part of it's trying to find clothes that'll fit. Next part, it's the hair, and then it's the makeup. All right, it takes me an hour. But you're like, oh, come on. Come on. And then you jingle your keys like, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready to go to church, I'm ready. And then you stomp up, hey, honey, I'll meet you out in the car. That takes an hour to get me ready, okay? You need to just release that person. Go get your Bible, sit down, start reading, start praying, start worship. Just release them, okay? And maybe I'll knock 5 minutes off next week. Okay, but you know what we like to do is we like to make people be like us. It's always going to take me this long to get ready. I am sorry. Some of you guys, you just roll out of bed and go, "Foop! Your hair looks great. It's amazing." But it doesn't. This is a blow dry, a flat iron, and then the under curl. Okay, so you know what I found out is God is the potter. We are the Who's the potter? Who gets to mess with the clay? Me? No. Who gets to mess with the clay? God does. So I'm just going to release it. I am going to trust God to make a piece of masterpiece out of that blob of clay. And you know what? I've watched all of you turn into a masterpiece. Yay! Yeah. God, just be kind to them and pray for them and have kind words for them and go sit down and read your Bible for them, okay? And God, I guarantee, will make the blob of clay into a masterpiece. He promises. All right, are we on one? We have one more? What are we on? Oh, what? Oh, last one, five, redemptive. What's that mean? Turn over to Ephesians. I have to read this one. Ephesians 4. 32. Ephesians 4, 32. Redemption. Redemption is this big word that talks about what Jesus did for you. Redemption is what Jesus loved you so much that he did for you. And we're supposed to live this way. Ephesians 4. Instead, be kind. Really, I could have read the whole chapter of 4. It's really good. But instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Who forgave you and forgave you and forgave you and forgave you? And tomorrow he's going to forgive you and forgive you and forgive you. Jesus Christ. So you are to live that life for the difficult people you encounter in your life. You are to live redemptively. Forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. Don't get a bat out and start smacking their windows. All right? Don't go into a war with words. Okay? Forgive them. Forgive them. All right? And you know, you're supposed to be kind to them. That lady at the checkout, let's just say she wasn't a Christian. But I want to tell you, she did her darndest to be kind to that guy. I was ready to get a bat for him. But that lady walked in kindness to him. Now, you could say, well, that's her job. And I'll tell you, she was really trying to do it. And then when Sherry and I got up in line, she says, I'm so sorry you had to wait. I thought, man, I should be like that. All right, be kind. Live redemptively. Okay, homework. Look at the bottom of your page. It's no good unless you do something with it. It says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. So I always give you homework. Think about difficult people in your life. Think about difficult people you have to deal with, maybe at work. Think about those difficult people and choose a God response for them. Choose how you're going to God response for them. All right? Then, also, if you see yourself in there, the clam, ask the Lord to help you work on it. All right? Praise the Lord. Let's close our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, we just love and adore you. I thank you so much that you have brought light to areas in our life that we need to get better at, because you've got better for us and you want us to be a light so people can know you. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we ask you just to keep this word before us this week. Talk in our ears, nudge us, and show us, continue to show us how we can be better, live better, and touch people better in Jesus' name. Amen. One more thing, most important thing. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't have a relationship, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, what do I mean by that? You're separated from him. That's not a relationship. You're on one side, he's on the other side. But if you're here and you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'd say, Pastor D, I'm sick and tired of sick and tired, and I'd like that relationship. You'd like to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Actually, he's already Savior of the world. Did you know that? He's already that. Jesus is already that. You just have to be smart enough to receive it. All right? But you do have to make a choice to let him be Lord of your life. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor D, I have never received salvation. I've never received Jesus into my life. I have never accepted to be a part of this family of God. And I've never let him be Lord of my life. I've never let him be the boss. Let him lead me in my life, a better life. And you'd say, Pastor D, I'm ready. I am sick and tired of sick and tired, and I'm ready for that. Just raise your hand, and I'll pray for you. This will be the greatest day. It always is the greatest day, but this will be a day that'll mark your life, change it, make it better. And then someday Jesus will say, come on home, baby. You'll say, I'm ready. All right. Is there anybody here? You'd say, Pastor D, I don't have that relationship and I'd like that. Is there anybody here? Okay. We're family. All right, family. We're going to practice. Ready? Because I got sick and tired of people saying, Pastor D, I just brought this person here. Would you pray for them? No. You pray for them. Are you kidding me? They had to wait 7 days to get Jesus into their life because you wouldn't pray with them? Scaredy cat. So this is practice. Okay, stand up. Here we go. This is what the practice. I change it all the time, but here we go. Practice. We're going to practice. Ready? Praise the Lord. Here we go. Okay. All right. You got your best buddy by the hand. You've been shining your light in their life for years. And the light went off and they're like, I want what you have. And you're not going to wait for Sunday to give them to Pastor D. Okay. You're going to grab your hand and you're going to pray with him. Go like this. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe that Jesus Christ is your son, Lord. And he died for me, for my sins. And I take him today as my savior. And I will let him lead my life. Jesus be my Lord. I'm now a child of God. I'm on my way to heaven and I'm shouting the victory. No, you don't. Amen. Okay, guys, you have just led multitudes to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Don't be afraid to let your light shine. Don't be afraid to grab somebody. Okay? Amen. Father God, I thank you that these people are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Blessed going in. They are blessed good here and they are blessed going out. Everything they set their hands to, they prosper in. And don't forget to go ice skating on Wednesday. And amen. Have a good day. Okay.